I just challenge everyone to get into the business and evaluate everything you pay for today. What all do you have access to? So just gotta pause, map it out, be strategic, and then figure out what's best for you.
If a technology company managed to be at the restaurant show with the booth or their presence, whatever that might be, for 3 years in a row, then that means they're probably gonna stick around.
So slow down, be strategic, identify the areas that you need tech, identify the areas that you can wait on some of the tech, take the existing tech you have, and if you need to keep parts of that, figure out how you integrate that stuff.
This whole idea of like, how does technology play a critical role in every aspect of our business, rather than just thinking about it as a cost center.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of Tech Bytes. Today, we're honored to have the entire board of advisors in person here in Cowboys Club in Frisco. So we've got Mr. Kendall Ware. He's been part of the board from the very beginning. Thanks for joining us in person here. Then we've got Mo Askari. He was the second board member we've added. A lot of valuable insight that he's added to the company. And of course, this year, last year we did not have Pankaj, but this year we also have Pankaj. First of all, congratulations on your new role as CTO of Raisin Cane's.
Thank you.
So that change and progression forward. So big congratulations to you. And of course, we've got Wade Allen. He was also recently promoted to the president of Costa Vida, and he's been part of the board, and he was here last year as well. So Wade, thanks for being here.
Yeah, love it.
Excited. Amazing. So we're going to talk a lot about the technology and the shift in the restaurant space. So the first topic is, you know, in 2010, I started with the whole mindset of let's solve the biggest challenge in the restaurant industry, and that was top line revenue. But everybody thought it's impossible. The technology wasn't there. It was impossible to fund. It was impossible to build it, manage it, etc. But we built it, we had to shut it down, restarted again in 2019, rebranded from Improving Restaurants to Milagro, and we kept ringing the same bells saying, hey, the problem is top line revenue. But it still was a little bit too early on. This is in 2019, but fast forward to today, NRA 2024 report came out, and it's talking all about technology. 75% of operators now today, based on the study, are saying that technology is either critical or very important. So we're just going to go around and ask why. Why do you think that has shifted? So Kendall, if you don't mind, we'll start with you. So why do you think 75% of operators now today are saying technology is either very important or critical?
I think a lot of it has to do with where the industry has gone naturally. And so as a consumer or a guest going into these restaurants, you're getting exposed to all these new technologies depending upon who's trying what. It could be a test, it could be a full rollout, but people are getting exposed to more technology and how they do business or visit a brand. And so that creates other brands looking at them saying, wait a minute, my competitor just launched X. So now I should go look into that as well. But overall, the guests start to have this demand and start to tell you what it is you should expect when they're visiting a restaurant. So I think over time that start to build up to where they're looking around them in their own communities. They're seeing businesses start to thrive and they have stronger capabilities than what they may have. So they start to latch on. They start being fast followers to whatever that trend may be. And in some cases, even being innovators and trying to stand out even more with their own versions of technology that can drive traffic, sales, loyalty, you name it. So I think that's a component. And then two, just the awareness itself. You look at things that have gone more broad and people, you know, kind of stayed away from them, or they become mainstream, and either way, there's just awareness that's been built up to where now it's like, hey, I have to be a part of this. I got to see what's going on. And with the natural sales decline that's taken place across many industries and people figuring out how to rebuild their business post-pandemic, I think it's just put this heightened awareness of, hey, we actually need this to do business and to grow versus maybe we'll get to that one day. So I think it's just a shift overall because of a lot of the outside factors that have led us to this point.
Amazing. Yeah, that's so kind of force of hand, adoption, new, the next evolution of doing business. Mo, what do you think?
Probably a lot of small things that ultimately, and I think not to sort of ramp on the COVID thing, but I think COVID highlighted the fact that if you're a restaurateur and you don't have the appropriate technologies in place to engage with your guests where they want to enjoy your services, where they live, work, and play, then you're a little bit shorthanded. So I think that ultimately was the factor that as a restaurateur, if I don't have my systems, if I don't have my guest engagement interaction points figured out, then it's going to be hard for me to transact or build a relationship with that guest. But I think before the pandemic, the adoption of mobile devices, us as humans, every single person essentially has a phone. And 80% or more of those people that have phones typically are looking down at their phones wherever they're doing. So interaction, engagement, communication, the traditional methods, I'm not saying they're no longer work, they still work, but to reach your audience, you need technology, you need the right technology, and you need the right information to be able to interact with them. But I think COVID kind of highlighted that for most, that if I didn't have an online ordering system, there was really no easy way for my customers to place an order with me.
Gotcha. So. Mr. Pankaj, why do you think that is?
It's a job security for me, so what can I say?
There's the real answer.
That's the real answer. Like, I don't know about others. Like, again, technology, I think as long as it continues, like, I'm happy. No, I think... I feel like the expectations have changed, right? So if you look at the guest or customer expectation today and the ecosystem they have to deal with on a daily basis, there is technology everywhere. So why not when they are interacting with their in a restaurant or having that experience in the restaurant, it becomes a part and parcel of your life, right? And similarly on the team member side or the crew members for us, it's just understanding that when they come to the restaurant, they have the same expectation in terms of how can they use these devices which are in their hand or the things which they are able to do outside in the restaurant. Otherwise, you're going to lose on like engaging them and involving them in that experience. So I think it's all about expectation. It's going through that curve, and I think it's going to become more and more relevant in terms of how you think about it. And that's why I think I would say restaurants have been a little bit late adopting. We talked a lot about COVID that essentially pushed our hand to do some of these things quickly. But now we are catching up and probably will keep pace with technology.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that, you know, in 2010, when I set out and started kind of talking about all these things, everybody was looking at me like I'm the weirdo. But it was happening even then outside of the restaurant industry, just not within. And it took a whole decade and COVID to really push everybody forward.
Yeah.
So Wade, why do you think that is? Why do you think technology is becoming a big deal on top of mind on all restaurants around?
Well, I don't think I have any unique thought that hasn't already been shared. I'll just summarize what I heard was, consumers are more sophisticated than ever before. We have more technology in our lives at home and in our pockets than we've ever had. They expect it to be, their expectations are raised because of that. I think we have inherently just, the restaurant industry is complex. It's tough to run a restaurant these days. And if the guy down the street has a new technology and it's making potentially his profitability better, I got to grab that technology, right? So I think all of those things compound to say how important tech is. I mean, we've had conversations even before this podcast, just this group, on how tough it is to run restaurants, right? With all the new technology that's out there. So when they make that study, I think what a lot of people are talking about is, man, more and more technology is flooding into this space. There's less and less integration or systems connectivity, and it's causing more and more ruckus. So it is a very important topic to make sure that all of my systems function so I can just take care of my guests and my team members can have a great experience as well.
That's amazing.
That's what I heard the group say. That's what I kind of take away from it.
Great. So that actually leads us to the next question. So the question is, now you've got all of these technology pieces. You've got obviously a cost of implementation. Everything's adding up. It's taking up more and more of the IT budget, the budget that's not there, that wasn't there a few years ago. So how do restaurants adapt to that? What should they do and how should they think of that technology and how do they overcome the obstacle of cost and all these different technology solutions, you know, upwards of 15, 16 different tech stack in a single building. So Kendall, how to overcome that?
First thing that comes to mind is right now, or in the past at least, most technology platforms were perceived as this expense, right? Oh yeah, I have to do this and it costs this much. But I think we've seen how we got to shift that conversation to be more about the investment. What's the return? How much more traffic can it drive? What about the return here, return there? How much, you know, top line revenue is it going to drive? Whatever that may be, or how much other expense can it save me elsewhere, right? So yes, you still may be, it may be an expense, but it's offsetting another expense. But when it comes to that, I think that's the big difference, because I've been in these conversations before where someone's harping on the cost. That's also because it's easier for all of us to show you, here's what it does and here's how much it costs. But we're not talking about the actual return or the perceived return that could come from that investment. And that changes the dialogue, that changes the understanding. In my world, from a franchising perspective, there's still so many brands that have not gone down the tech fee approach. And it's just like marketing, right? We all have these ad funds because we're trying to invest back into our brand and build awareness, drive trial, drive all these things. It should be the same on the technology side. And not to nickel and dime franchisees, it's the last thing, but if your business model can support it, you have to start looking at it as an investment fund, just like you would the ad fund, to where you start to collect a certain amount of money into this technology fund that can help still drive traffic and sales, but also innovation and how to try new things out and figure out what your brand needs. And I'm going through that right now. We're just now launching one, but it's going to be years before it can actually help us move the needle. But I just think it's becoming so much more of a conversation around the value and the overall financial results it can provide versus just how much it costs.
Perfect. And we'll get into the ROI. That's the next topic. You jumped a little bit ahead, but I'm glad it came up, because that obviously a great topic to jump into. So adding some sort of a technology fee, just like you allocating 3% of your top line revenue for marketing, allocate whatever, 1%, or I don't know what that number should be, to technology fund.
Yeah, and it's always going to be invested back in the brand. Yeah. By no means is it going to be a profit center for the franchisor, but it's just something to work with, right? Something to help your franchisees do business simpler, right? And or drive more traffic and revenue to that four-wall business.
And I think just coming, so if I can add, Kendall, you're so spot on like this whole idea of technology fund, coming from a heavily franchised organization. When you think about the marketing accrual or marketing fund, it's thinking about like, how do you grow the business? But when you look at a technology fund, it's a cost center for them, and nobody wants to invest in that cost center. But I think this whole idea of like, how does technology play a critical role in every aspect of our business, rather than just thinking about it as a cost center? I think that is shifting. There's a classic debate which is going on digital, right? Where does digital live? Does it more inclined towards technology? Is it more inclined toward marketing? Is it somewhere in between? How should that be funded and all those things? So I think those conversations are going to happen. And at some point, like, it has to shift more from being just a cost center to like, how is it's an integral part of the business. You have to continue to invest in it.
It needs to be part of the solution.
Yeah,
right.
It no longer is optional.
Right.
It has to be there. So, and I think the conversation's elevated or is escalated because, again, a few years ago it was happening, but it wasn't urgent for it to happen. Now it has to happen. Mm-hmm. No one would dream of these days opening up a business of any kind, forget about a restaurant, without a domain name or a website. So I think technology's got to be part of it. It's just got to, how do you manage a conversation to help those operators that are not used to it better frame it and understand it? And I think the new generation of entrepreneurs that are opening up restaurants, they already know that I got to invest X, whatever that X is, before I even consider opening up my first location.
Yeah, the shift to, they have to understand the value of data. They have to understand the value of technology. If they don't, then, I mean, to your point, people don't open businesses today and say, I'm not going to have a way to transact with my customers that's electronic. Like, it doesn't happen. And so, but I think we still have operators in the restaurant space, believe it or not, I know a few of them, who still view tech as this old school expense that does something that I don't understand. And that's not what it does. It all points back to driving sales traffic, transactions, whatever you want to call, that's what the ultimate you got to get back to, right?
Sure. Okay, amazing. So let's kind of move on. Let's dig into, well, let's dig more into this whole technology expense, ROI, et cetera. So obviously, or there has been a lot of pressure in the restaurant space to begin with. Famously, everybody quotes 80% of them fail within the first 5 years. It's a tough business to operate. It's a business, but it's a really tough business to operate. So failure rate is through the roof. That puts a lot of pressure on operation, profitability, all of that. Coming back around to the technology stuff, now cost of borrowing interest rates are up. Obviously, the economy is starting to contract a little bit. So now, how do you measure and how do you make the right investment to get the maximum amount of ROI out of technology?
I mean, I think it starts with your own journey. Like, what is the guest journey for you? With your business, where do you want to see the guest go? What do you want to see the guest do? What's that end goal look like for you? And then how do you find technology that enables you to actually execute that along that journey? So I think it's very specific to each brand. But end of the day, it needs to be perceived as something that's enabling you and or enabling the guest, right? Is enabling your brand to capture more guests or is enabling the guest to visit you more often? One and the same end goal, but how are the technologies helping you achieve those things? But if you don't know what that journey looks like or where you're trying to lead a guest, then you're kind of just shooting in the dark.
Yeah, and I would agree again with what you said, Kendall. It's an interesting thing, right? Like if somebody's looking at like, hey, I have a problem and I'm going to invest something in technology and it's going to solve. Maybe the first one is going to be true. Maybe the second one is going to be true. But pretty soon you'll end up in a situation where you have all these competing technologies which are not working in a cohesive way in the ecosystem, which is going to put a lot of pressure on the operators as well as the customers or guests who are walking into those restaurants, right? So you're basically shifting it by not thinking through all these things. So as you think about like, okay, ROI and all those things, you know that it is becoming a part of the life, right? You cannot say that I don't want to have a POS system, right? You cannot say that I don't want to have a digital or online presence. As you think about some of these things, like you know that you have to do it now, how do you start making sure that you understand like where we are and where we need to be and start building that in a way where it builds on top of each other, right? So foundationally, you have to invest in certain things because maybe you're not thinking what is going to happen 2 years from now, but you have to be ready when it happens. COVID was a great example, right? A lot of brands were scrambling to put an online system together and they were able to get it, but it still needs like, if you would have thought about it 2 years back, not about COVID, but just about like, how do I start thinking about my business, you would be in a much better spot, right? So it's about where you are in your journey. It's about investing into the fundamentals so that, or the foundational things so that you start making it easier for the future capabilities to be built on top of that.
It's interesting how in the restaurant space, we try to be strategic in certain areas of our business, but somehow we're not strategic in the way we build our tech stacks. Like, that's crazy. Right?
That is crazy. I agree.
We just throw stuff together and say, why doesn't it work?
Hodgepodge. Yeah.
It's kind of like the way you kind of take it back to an operator is you say, it's like a wine pairing or like a dessert that goes with a meal. Like, you don't just ram two things together, right? No, that would be terrible. You'd never do that. Well, guess what? There's certain tech stacks you don't just ram together and you're not going to end up driving top line sales or profitability if you do that wrong. So slow down, be strategic. Identify the areas that you need tech. Identify the areas that you can wait on some of the tech. Take the existing tech you have, and if you need to keep parts of that, figure out how you integrate that stuff. And I think if they're strategic like that, they'll get to where you want to be is, hey, there's more pressure than ever in the market. There's more pressure on our business, more pressure on labor, more pressure on cost of sales. Supply chain's always in the lurch. Like, how are we gonna get to those extra margins? Well, a strategically developed tech stack could get you what you want out of margins and sales if you do it right.
And just to feed off of that, because I lived through this recently, the whole team got lost in trying to build out this tech stack, and it was using all the logos of all these tech vendors we were talking about. Oh yeah, we should use this for this, this for that. and you look at it and it just gets more complex on paper, which means it's going to be even more complex in reality.
Right.
And so we stopped. We said, hold on, everyone just pause for a second. And we went around to each department head and asked one simple question. What are the features that matter most to you? Features. Features, capabilities, like what is it you need to do through the means of technology? Identified all that, put those into buckets, and then mapped out what that could look like in terms of capabilities. So we need to be able to have people sign up for a loyalty program. Check. We need to be able to have a presence online. Check. All those things adding up. And then we went back and said, okay, which vendor, which partner out there can best support us in accomplishing that? And that's how we made up our tech stack. But then you learn along the way of what the interdependencies are, where the breaking points are, and you have a decision to make. Do you want to? Are you okay with having a potential breaking point between these two areas because it gives you the best capability and feature set? You know, it's all up to you and that brand, but I think sometimes we get lost in what a vendor might be pitching us versus what it is we might need or want to drive the business forward. And you should create that foundation first, then find that partner that best pairs well.
Sorry, you're good. I was just going to add is that you guys are, I mean, I'm hearing you got to keep it simple, but most importantly, understand what it is that you need for your business before you go out there. Sure. Don't just go out there thinking, I need this because everyone else is doing it.
Right.
The perfect example that I have, I think for a while, many, many years ago when loyalty systems were picking up, everyone's like, oh, I need a loyalty system, not really understanding what that meant. And my advice to them was, first, before you go and buy any technology, understand what loyalty means to your customers, to make your customers loyal to you. What does it mean to your business? And only once you have figured that out, then you go out in the market and figure out, okay, who are the players that can meet that requirement in terms of what I need for my business? And then one of your checkpoints is that these partners that I'm bringing to the table, are they providing open systems? So as my business grows, as my program evolves, are they going to be able to grow and evolve with me? Which is just as important, because integrated technologies is very, very challenging and difficult and costly. So you can't just rip it like a Band-Aid and then put another one on. So you just have to make sure that you know what it is that you're looking for, and then before you go, and then just to make sure that your partners can keep pace to your brand. And as your requirements change, they're changing with the industry as well.
So this brings up this whole Frankenstein solution. Mm-hmm. Literally, if you walk into a restaurant, you see this Frankenstein solution that's just been, you know, band-aid together all over the place. You got POS, online ordering, loyalty, gift, and there's again 15, 16 of these guys all kind of put together somehow, somewhat, and then one makes an update, the other one breaks, etc. So now you went from being a restaurant operator to a technology company trying to figure out how to do all that. So it sounds like, you know, that maybe that's another topic that we need to kind of, we'll touch base a little bit on it. All in one or best of breed and try to deal with that Frankenstein solution. I'm curious to get your thoughts on that.
Well, regardless of what we think, I mean, 2008 was my first restaurant show in Chicago. And
same,
if you,
actually.
Same. If you went into the show floor, the technology pavilion was the tiny corner in the upper corner, of course. And it was basically dominant by the major players were POS platforms. And now you try to go into the restaurant show, there's technology everywhere, okay? The restaurant industry hasn't matured in terms of its technology adoption and what it actually needs. And maybe it'll never,
right,
because it's constantly changing. So it's real, and until you try it, you don't know if it's gonna work, it doesn't work. But the obvious answer, just like in everything in life, is that the simpler you keep it, the more effective and better it is. Okay, so, but I think the evolution of it is that all these companies are coming and bringing these niche products. Some of them are great, some of them might get acquired. Maybe there's another leapfrog effect that happens. A new player comes in and say, okay, what are the core fundamentals that we need, and builds one platform with all of those things to minimize integrations, but yet is open enough that if an integration is required for something that's realized 5 years from now, you can still do that and not have to divest of your investment. But we're still early. I feel like, you know, in the restaurant industry, as much as we've experienced over the last 15, 20 years, it's still at the beginning, which is obvious because every month there's like a new player, a new startup. I'm sure if you go to the restaurant show next year, there's gonna be a whole bunch of, my test always was that if a technology company managed to be at the restaurant show with the booth or their presence, whatever that might be, for 3 years in a row, then that means they're probably going to stick around.
We're past that test. But this is our fourth year. Yeah.
And well, here we are.
And actually, you know what's funny? I was looking at the NRA show. They've doubled the size of the tech pavilion. So next year at NRA, it actually has doubled and they've taken over in other parts. So yeah.
It's everywhere. Like, I mean, you think about it. I mean, your guest engagement, what COVID did with the, obviously with the adoption of third-party marketplaces, restaurants realize right away they're being disconnected with their customer. They no longer own their customer. They're becoming a point of transaction, a production and distribution center, and in many cases, not even a distribution center. So they had to react very, very quickly and solve for that. And now with the adoption of AI, and what does that mean in terms of guest engagement and operationally? So it's all very interesting. As a technologist, it's interesting to be part of it and have a front row seat of how it's all evolving and developing.
So going back though, and this is more of a challenge to the decision makers who listen to this or work through this every day. What I've noticed in my experience is every time I get to a brand, you see all these technologies and these features and things that people purchase. And when you start to really evaluate it, there's always crossover, right? Like, there's four different project management softwares, there's two different communication tools, there's all these things, and it's a hodgepodge of buildup of all these things that a person had a preference on, let's say. So I come to the brand, I like this vendor, so I bring them in, we go. I just challenge everyone to get into the business and evaluate everything you pay for today. What all do you have access to? What are the features and capabilities of all these things? And where is there a gap and or where is there a crossover? And then make decisions based on that. But a lot of times we're adding or changing things just to do it without being strategic, to Wade's point, and understanding, all right, this actually works for us. Now, how do I build on top of that or integrate with somewhere else? But I mean, right now we are going through so much cancellation of subscriptions that we already have another platform that does it and no one was aware because the leader before them signed this one on and then I signed that one on. It keeps going and going and going. So just got to pause, map it out, be strategic, and then figure out what's best for you. But I just, you know, seven different brands now I've seen this, and it's a common theme that keeps occurring based upon the leader at that time.